All right, we are halfway home on a Tuesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. What a pleasure it is to be with you and to have you join us on our pleasure cruise this morning. The airwaves of San Diego. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. We were in the commercial break taking a personality test. I'm asking Ben the question.
An updated personality test to see if I still fail or if I've grown, or maybe I'm just more honest with my answers.
We decided in the last segment, you're the only person, maybe in the history of humans, to fail a personality test.
Potentially.
What does a successful personality test yield?
It's, I think,
like at the end, you're an adventurer,
you're
a good fit for this place.
I guess my worry is that a failed personality test means that you are
psychotic,
about to snap and go on a mass murder spree, which I really don't feel like I'm anywhere near doing that.
I don't think so either, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise you at all.
Not in the
slightest. Not a violent person.
No, not yet. You ever see the movie Me?
You're certainly the most likely out of the three of us.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't even think it's close.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Me, Myself, and Irene?
I believe I have.
Okay, if you haven't, you need to revisit that. That's what I fear from you. One day, another personality comes out entirely. His name is Mike. And it's like, he's like, I'm Mike. I'm like, no, you're Ben. And it's a totally different person inside of you that has come out through whatever is the impetus behind it. But yeah, I was firing some questions off at Ben. He's answering as honestly as you're not answering what I want to hear. You're answering what you really feel.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. So I got like 42% through it during the break.
It's a thorough test.
It's very thorough. And then I'm going to get to the end and they're going to ask me for my credit card, which I know it's not just going to be a free test. But we did this a while back. We all took personality tests, different one than this one. But yeah, that's an interesting story. It's weird because I don't consider you an overthinker at all. I'm an overthinker. My wife gets so mad at me because I do these hypotheticals in my head. And I'm like, well, what if this happens?
You are an over-worrier about things. I don't necessarily worry about them. I just like thinking about them.
Does it drive you crazy?
No.
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 See, it drives me crazy.
It actually entertains me.
The mark of a true serial killer. You know who else is entertained? Hannibal Lecter. He was very entertained.
You know, problem solver. Puzzles, you know, crosswords. I do enjoy keeping my brain active, usually with, like numbers and things. But if you're just sitting in line, there's something going to be thinking about it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of the same things that you do.
But then again, I can also just blank out pretty easily as
you
well.
You are a master at just plowing forward.
Tune out.
Yeah, tune up.
So I don't know.
Well, we'll get through this and we'll get you to the results.
Maybe I'm so normal I broke the test.
That could be it as well.
It's possible.
I am very bummed that I fell asleep for that game. And I know it's a 6-1 victory. Great. But I missed the lights. I missed the lights going out. I missed like all the cool moments, all the funny stuff that happened. I missed that rookie making his debut and yanking one to the backstop. I missed all kinds of fun stuff.
Can I be honest? I think the funniest thing in the game yesterday, and Paulie, I don't know if you stayed up for it, Don started doing Mud's bits late in the game, and that was pretty funny.
I missed it. Missed all
just
of it.
Just started doing his lines. Oh, frozen pizza! Hockey suit!
Do you get this? Do you think Don is worn out by Mud sometimes?
Yes.
I would say most times.
I liked Don going after his high school coach. Now, here's the interesting part. Don was talking about how he didn't really like his high school baseball
coach. I heard
that,
yes.
And he thought, well, I should have been playing shortstop and hitting in the three hole. But we saw Don at fantasy camp. I would be surprised if Don ever played beyond Little League. Did he really play high school ball and just didn't? Because I love Don. He can't throw at all. Like, he couldn't throw a ball. Do you lose your skills?
I was a pitcher, and I've lost all my skills, so it's possible that he was. I mean, he has a love of baseball. He doesn't like anything else, basically. Fishing, it's like food, baseball.
That's it.
Like, they were talking about, it was Star Wars weekends coming up. I saw the original one once, and he has no idea, really, about anything about it, because he's just into baseball, which is great.
Hmm.
And I've got to be fair, we said, I think Don gets tired of Mud. Mud probably gets tired of Don, yeah, too, at times.
For sure.
Just like you and I probably get tired of each other.
I never get tired of you. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't get tired of you either. Ever.
That's great. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Just completely zonked out. Was feeling tired. And again, like, I didn't think they had the game in hand at all. 3-1. I was like, I miss Suarez pitch. I miss all the fun stuff last night. So I do apologize.
It was a remarkably unremarkable Padres game. It's the kind of game.
Wait. Unremarkable?
Yes.
Even with a Toddy homer and a crony homer?
It was a good game. Here's what I mean by that. When you have a team with a lot of talented players and you're playing against a team that's not that good, it doesn't mean you're going to blow them out every single time. But generally, how games like this go, so that might be close for a few innings, and eventually the good team just starts to just put enough pressure on that they pull away, they hit a couple of home runs, they have a rally, yeah, and they end up winning 6-1. It's such the normal baseball story. It's my entire life. That's what happens when, you know, when the Padres were a bad team, I'd go like for 3 or 4 innings and I'd go, oh, we got a chance today against the Dodgers or the Braves. And then eventually, oh yeah, our bullpen's not that good and we just run out of steam, yeah, and we end up losing 7-2 or 6-1. This is kind of how baseball games go. It doesn't feel like Padres games go that way that often. That it's simply to script. That's what you were supposed to do. Yeah, they had a pretty decent pitcher. That kid, Joey Estes, pretty lively arm, was coming off took a perfect game into the 7th. Threw some good pitches early, but eventually the Padres figured him out. Got a couple of, you know, home runs, put a rally together, got to a rookie in the bullpen, made him work, made him throw some balls, drew a walk, got a sacrifice fly, and they won the game the way a good team is supposed to do. I don't know why it seems so hard for them to do that on a consistent basis, but that was exactly what you're generally looking for when you're playing a team like the A's or the Angels or the Rockies. Where was it in the Angels and the Rockies series? I don't know.
You were waiting on what you just mentioned. You were waiting on that 5th, 6th inning, you know, third time, yes, through the lineup.
Gets, yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Figured him out. And it just never materialized. And I think, you know, that's what it makes it frustrating watching this team sometimes. But, you know, I look, like you said, I mean, everyone's touting this 5-game losing streak because, wow, I mean, we didn't lose by a lot. We were in every game. Okay, fine. But let's push that aside. You still weren't able to get the results you wanted. Last night was a game that you were. Hey, and be completely honest with yourselves, all of us, and you guys listening too. When Cease gave up that bomb, what did you do? Oh, God, here we go. Me out of my mouth was, oh, boy, here we go. Just like that. I mean, and they you know, scattered. That's what happens when you throw 6 innings, Ben, and you give up 8 hits. They say you scattered 8 hits around the ballpark. It felt like a lot of hits to give up if you're Dylan Cease against that team with that kind of stuff. But they've been hitting the ball a little bit better this year. They had some resurgent power numbers, as they talked about on the broadcast last night. But, yeah, man, at the end of the day, he did what he had to do. Bullpen did their jobs. You know, I saw people grousing again about why take Adrian Morejon out. If you don't want to get taken out, you don't walk guys. It's really simple. If they call you in from the bullpen and you don't want to ever really get pulled and you have a job to do, don't walk a guy. They're not going to go to Estrada there for the one out. Finding out this morning that they use Suarez in a 6-1 game, have no problem with it. Hasn't pitched in 7 days or whatever. Needed to get him some work. So I thought a managed game, a well-executed game, a well-pitched game, all of the above. I'll take those every single day, obviously. Obviously.
Yeah, it was the right call to go to Estrada. It's the tying run at the plate. You know, they're bringing up a pinch hitter to try to take advantage of Morejon with a chance to tie the game. So you bring in your nastiest right-handed setup guy to make sure you get that out.
100%.
And then you hope you score some runs, which you went out and scored some runs. It was a well-managed, as you said, strategically, pretty well-executed game by the Padres, who got the bigger hits than the A's.
Yep, 100%.
Now do it again tonight.
Yep, do it again. That's the thing.
And really, do it again 2 more days in a row. Sweep a series. Undo some of the damage of the 5-game losing streak. The one that, and I will admit that I am one of the people who fuels this. Because,
are you alibiing it?
Well, it was true that the Padres, they didn't do everything wrong in that 5-game losing streak.
No, they did a lot wrong, pitching, though. A lot of bad base
running. They got
running.
Some hits, but they did make enough mistakes. They ended up losing those games. It wasn't an unceasing string of just horrible
games.
Play.
Yeah.
And when Mike Schilt and before that Xander Bogart said that was like the prettiest five-game losing streak ever, no one wants to hear that. Even if it is true, and it wasn't a particularly ugly streak, they never lost big in any of those games. They had a chance to win all of them. They got mostly great pitching all the way through. No one wants to hear about a pretty losing streak. They just don't.
Ever. No, you don't.
I'd rather hear about an ugly winning streak.
All day long. Every single time. Five of the ugliest games ever, yep. But they're all wins.
Yeah, I just would rather hear about an ugly winning streak.
Everybody wants that, man. Everybody wants that.
And beating the A's to, for three in a row could be the start of a nice, ugly winning streak. Last night's game was not ugly, though. Last night's game was just fine.
Yeah, just what the doctor ordered, my
just
friend.
Just fine.
Somebody tweeted
about 55 more of those?
Yes. Somebody tweeted in, can Kim stop getting thrown out on the base, please? Yeah, we talked about it earlier. Look, hit that ball hard. Ben thinks he maybe thought he lined out. I kind of feel the same now after thinking. At first, I thought he got it. Now, here's where he does get the benefit of the doubt, in my opinion. Have we ever seen Kim lollygag anything ever? So he gets the benefit of that. In my opinion, that's why I tend to lean. He thought he lined out instead of hit a home run. He never takes plays off, ever. He's a hair on fire guy all the time. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. And he did get thrown out by 6 feet. But again, trying to get in a scoring position, not super mad at that
one. And I was critical. I sent a tweet out. It's a boneheaded base running blunder by Ha-Sung Kim. Another one. And then I got a lot of responses about how bad Ha-Sung Kim has been this year.
He's run into a bunch of outs.
He has. He's made some mistakes. He had some errors early in the season. Would it surprise you to learn, though, that, and Craig was talking about this yesterday on their show, that metrically, like F-War, Ha-Sung Kim is number 8 in shortstops in baseball. His on-base is .335. It's better than Jackson Merrill. It's better than Jake Cronenworth. I mean, he's getting on base. Yep. His slugging percentage is .400. His numbers aren't bad. He's been heating up lately, especially.
No question. That OBP, though, that counts when you hit a double and you get thrown out at third as well. That counts as a double.
That's true.
Just FYI.
But he walks a ton. He's got the best, maybe, eye on the team. Walks more than even Jurickson and Profar does. He's not bad.
No, he's not bad. Nobody's saying he's bad.
The people were saying
he's a reckless base runner.
He's been reckless. He's made some bad decisions, and he's not necessarily as good as he was last year. But if you compare him to the rest of the league, especially at shortstop, not bad at all.
Not bad.
He's actually an above average shortstop.
I'm a Kim fan. I'm a Kim supporter.
What do you guys think the future looks like for Ha-Sung Kim? Is he a Padre in August?
Fantastic question. Oh, in August?
I mean,
yes.
He's a free agent at the end of this year.
He is in August.
Do you think it's likely that he re-signs here?
I don't know that we have the money for it.
That is a much bigger question.
Does he turn it around and he's so valuable that the Padres need him for the hopeful playoff push?
Yeah, he's here. I think he's here for the season.
Does AJ even explore trading him to get something for him? He thinks the big league team can sustain its season without him, and then you get a couple of guys maybe that you wouldn't have gotten if you let him walk?
I saw Too Much Mortons, who is, again, really good follow.
Great follow.
On Twitter, suggest that Ha-Sung Kim may be the rare guy who might take a qualifying offer.
Say it.
That's not a qualifying offer.
Qualifying.
Yeah. So,
which would be what?
So when you hit free agency, teams can issue a qualifying offer. They do, like the Padres did for Blake Snell and Josh Hader, which is usually rejected because they don't want to accept a one-year deal. Last year, I think it was around $18 million. Probably going to be a little bit more this year. It's not a long-term deal, and I'm sure Ha-Sung Kim would love to capitalize with a long-term deal, but if he doesn't have a great season, he may want to stay in San Diego another year, make a good chunk of change, and
he's got an $8 million player option.
It would be a big, he could get a big raise if he turns down the option.
Yep.
He could get a big raise on the qualifying offer, where the Padres won't have to commit to him for many years to come, but he also, doesn't risk testing the market yet, coming off what is not statistically been his best season so far.
Well, his season's not over yet.
That's true, too.
And he is heating up, and you know, he is some in substances. He's one of the leaders of the team. Definitely going to look and feel different without him, 100%. And look, you know, use Jerks and Profar as a cautionary tale. You know, you can opt out of your deal, and no one, I think somebody would want him for his elite defensive prowess and potential, you know, but
when you have Manny, Xander, Cronenworth, and even Arise locked up for more than a year,
and you have Merrill in center who can also play the infield, and you have Fernando Tatis Jr. who wants to play the infield. Like, yeah, you have a glut of infield.
Like most guys don't get long term extensions that he probably is going to be seeking.
Correct.
To be a. I mean, he's a starter, but we don't need infielders on multi-year contracts.
I feel like he's going to be looking for $15 to $20 million a year,
sure,
from some team. If he can't, you know, if he doesn't know that he can find it, though, maybe 18 to 19 for 1 year with the Padres might be appealing, and the Padres might do it as well. I don't know if the Padres can afford it. I don't know what their budget's going to be next year. We have no idea what next year's budget is going to look like. Are they going to try to stay under the luxury tax again?
Zero.
Are they going to be willing to go over it because they reset their penalties this year? If they do, those are a lot of question marks, and we can talk about those. I think the more interesting...
Javi Baez makes $25 million a year. Dansby Swanson makes $26 million.
Yeah. Hassan Kim looks like a bargain, maybe.
Willie Adames makes $12.25 million. Bo Bichette makes $12 million.
Like, out of those five guys, I'm not suggesting he's the, like, the fifth infielder, or he would be the bench guy, but somebody's got to be on the bench, and he might just be the odd man out just based on timing of when his deal runs out.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Paulie, but I do think it's straightforward what Ha-Sung Kim is facing. I think there's another player who is facing a really weird offseason coming up. I want to talk about that when we come back. Jesse Agler is going to be with us at the bottom of the hour, so don't go anywhere. More Ben and Woods coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. We were just talking about Ha-Sung Kim's upcoming free agency. Paulie thinks he's going to be a Giant next year. Makes some sense. Best friend, Jung Ho Lee's on the team already. They seem like an organization that's been willing to pay some money, at least in the last year or two, to try to bring some star power to the team.
Don't mistake my words. I don't want him to go to the Giants. I don't want the Padres to trade him.
No. You said in the break you love the Giants and want
that's
to see
not true.
Him.
The Brandon Crawford era is over.
Pauly said the only guy that can replace a Brandon Crawford is Ha-Sung Kim. That's exactly
sense.
What he said.
You're just hoping he becomes the next Derek Jeter.
But to me, this is a standard free agency. Who's going to offer the most? What's the best situation? I think the one that's a real brain bender this offseason is, what is Jurickson Profar going to do?
Ask for what $30 million dollars a year?
Who's going to pay that?
Nobody. Didn't pay him last time.
Who's going to believe that Jurickson's going to take what he does with the Padres anywhere else when he never does it? But why would the Padres overpay when they know Jurickson really wants to be there? If this, for me, seems
it's going to
be the ultimate game of chicken between the Padres and Jurickson Profar, knowing, we know you want to be here. Yeah, you've earned a raise. It's not going to be $1 million, but we're not giving you, you know, top 20 war money. We're not giving you $18 million a year next year.
And he's thinking, you're damn right you are.
What's the possible right price point for Jurickson Profar? If he continues to play anywhere near the way he's played this year, does anyone go out and give him, you know, 4 years, $100 million?
He's playing he's playing at a level of $30 million a year. Paid $1 million a year. So where do you fall in the middle?
My man's making Brett Sullivan money right now and is out there having
Juan Soto numbers and have a year like he did with the Rockies that was miserable and just wishes he was back with the Padres.
The thought of it legitimately makes my hair fall out of what to do with a lot of the guys on the squad.
Saying, I mean, $8 million, $18 million.
I mean,
years,
yeah, there you
million.
Go. I don't know.
He dropped Boris, didn't he? He was a Boris guy?
Did he drop
I think
him? He was a Boris
I think
guy.
He did,
I thought he
actually
signed with MVP.
I think he did. I think he did. Well, it's not like the guys from MVP are going to be like, hell yeah, let's get you another mil, you know, maybe a mil five. No, they want to go out and get their guys paid, man. So I don't know. I don't know the answer on Ha-Sung Kim. I don't know the answer on Jurickson Profar. Again, so happy that I don't have to make those decisions.
Yeah,
I look at both of those guys as truly, and I mean this when I say it, those are fabric guys. Like, those are part of the fabric of that team, that clubhouse, period, the end. I'm not saying you have to pay them twice what they're worth, but I'm saying they should be paid what they're worth. They are fabric guys, beloved by the fan base for the most part, and beloved by their fellow players. This team, with the constant hiring of assassin after assassin after assassin after assassin every single year, it is hard to build continuity. No. You've made some moves that have hamstrung you, period. The Xander Bogaerts deal has hamstrung you financially, and now he's hurt. He's not coming back for a couple months. You got to find a way. And what did I say the other day? I want Luis Arraez to be a Padre. So you got another year of control of him. You got another year of control of Dylan Cease. You have another year of control of Michael King. I mean, there's a lot of things. It's time to pay the piper here in the next couple of years.
It's very complicated, except for one player that's very simple. If he comes from Japan, Roki Sasaki is someone you have to get.
Have to get him.
And you have to keep him from going to the Dodgers.
Yep.
He's going to almost.
Is there any doubt that he won't come over?
He hasn't announced it officially. That's what the belief is that he's going to come over. A lot of people think he's going to the Dodgers. If they get Ohtani on $2 million a year and Sasaki, who will be like Ohtani when he came over to the Angels on a very small salary and controlled for 6 years, they have pretty much put themselves in an unassailable position for the next decade.
How does it work? Like Yamamoto got $300 million or whatever
because he stayed long enough where he was posted. Okay. Sasaki is coming over. He'd be like an international signing. He'd be like DeVries,
a couple million bucks,
or Ethan Salas, like five million, 6 million, whatever your max is. That's all you can offer.
Damn.
And then you control him like any minor leaguer for six years of control.
I mean, look,
he's anything like Shota Imanaga, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the comparisons are there. He's going to be an outstanding pitcher. You're going to get him in his prime. He's going to be absolutely cheap. He is the game changer this offseason. The Dodgers, everyone thinks, are the favorite. The Padres have been trying to set this up for years. He idolizes Yu Darvish. There's a reason Yu Darvish is going to be here for a while. Part of that reason is Roki Sasaki, to try to lure him. He's not going to hurt your budget. He's going to be right into your starting rotation, near the top of it, for years to come. He will be a game changer wherever he goes. If he goes to the Padres, NL West is going to be fun and competitive. If he goes to the Dodgers, just boom, you're playing for the wild card for the next decade.
It'll just be SDFC show then. We'll just move our attentions over to local football because, that would suck. I mean, that would suck. And again, I mean, think about Bobby Miller, Shohei Ohtani's pitching again, Yamamoto. Class, is that even fun if you're a Dodger fan? My God. Like
Walker Buehler coming out of the bullpen. Yeah. Too many aces.
Yeah, 100%. Like, we have to trade some pitching.
Tony Gonsolin coming back. Who knows?
It's just insane.
I mean, Dustin May.
It's just insane. So I think.
Jesus God.
You know, it says, Satan's Blowfish says, we'll see what happens there, too. The Dodgers have freed up the most money remaining in 2024. So if Roki somehow declares for the period rather than the 24 period, then 25, the Dodgers will have the most money to sign.
If he waits. The indication is he doesn't want to wait, and he just goes for the international signing money, wants to get over. I don't know. Now, he has to wait longer than just one more year, I think, though,
To get the big money.
Yeah, he can come over next year for the small money. But if he wants to wait for the big money, he still has... He has more years in Japan, doesn't he? Yeah. He has to finish out some service time before he can come over and be posted officially.
Well, we're getting way ahead of ourselves. These are all problems that we don't have to solve today, but it is fun to kick them around a little bit.
By fun, I mean
excruciatingly painful and terrible.
We do have to give an incorporator word to Jesse Agler. We will be joined by the voice of the Padres. Coming up next with Ben Woods.
Send your words to the chat, please.
San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Rope Summer Baseball League and Camps. This week is the last chance to call to register your ball player ages 6 through 12 for the Baseball Summer League. Can you confirm that one?
I can.
It's going to be an awesome summer of player development and competition. Registration closes this Friday, June 14th. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com.
We just finished your personality test.
We did. Yeah. I feel like I have a similar personality to one Jesse Agler.
I can see some of that. You failed yours, though, again, here on this.
I did.
Yeah, failed.
It's not a pass-fail thing.
Meh, meh, meh,
alert.
Blinking F.
You said I'm an architect?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of highly logical.
INTJ.
Not overly emotional.
Correct. Intellectually curious.
I am. The test also determined that I'm highly introverted, like 84%.
Yes.
Which seems odd for someone who spends all day on radio and television.
Yeah.
Usually those you'd think are very extroverted people. But I don't know. Jesse Agler's with us. Jesse, would you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
Major introvert.
Yeah, me too.
Yet you're, yeah, you're both
like probably more than 84%.
Hmm. But you're both on radio, both in both in show business, mm-hmm, so to speak.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, this conversation, you know, I've had it a few times with people over the years, right? Because it doesn't make sense on its face, as you said. But I think my way of understanding myself and kind of explaining it to people is that, you know, the microphone is some kind of like barrier, right? In a weird way, because it is, and this is going to sound obnoxious, but it's kind of a one-way conversation. Like when I'm talking to people on the radio, they're not talking back to me. So it's fine. I can just do my thing and go. But like, it is exhausting to me. Like I finish a game and it's like, I feel like this is pathetic, but like, I feel like I boxed 10 rounds.
We say the same thing.
That's more talking.
Yeah.
That's more talking than I do the whole rest of the day put together. You put me at like a dinner party, I'm the worst, man. I'm the least interesting
person.
Yeah,
me too.
I do not know how to make small talk. Like, you know what? This is a terrible thing to admit, but I will do so for you guys because we're among friends here. Like, I don't think I realized until my late 30s that like when somebody asks you a small talk question, you're supposed to ask it back to them after you answer it. Like, I didn't realize.
I still didn't know that. Is that true?
38 years old.
So we'll walk through a scenario. We'll walk through a scenario. We're at a dinner party. So, like, a small talk question would be what? Like,
hey, what do you have planned for the weekend? And they're like, oh, you know, we're taking the kids to this, doing that, blah, 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 blah. And in the past, my brain was like, okay, they have asked you a question.
Yeah.
You have answered it.
Answered it.
I politely answered the question.
Life.
Yeah. Why would I want to know what you were doing this weekend? That doesn't affect my
100%.
Life at all.
And it's like, in my head, I'm like, why do they care what I'm doing this weekend?
And I'm going to spare you from me asking that question because I didn't want to answer it. I just did. So I'm not going to be rude enough to throw it back in your face.
100%. Like, I have now done the work. I have done the heavy lifting for you. So I'm going to move on, you know, to like the bar or the,
the buffet, the shrimp platter.
Right.
That's so fantastic.
That is how it works. However, the extroverts, by the way, I could do 3 hours on this topic. The extroverts, they need more. Like, they need more and more and more. And it's like, it took me so long to understand, you know, how these little interactions are supposed to work. And Ben, I don't know if you can put a number on it, but like, in my mind, 85% of the people I interact with are extroverts. So it's like a really uncomfortable universe at times.
Oh, everyone in television, like, so extroverted.
Yeah. So it's like a really, it's a hard world to inhabit. And I swear to God, like, I'm just now sort of learning how to navigate it with at least, you know how many people must think I'm a jerk because they're like, this guy never asked me any questions. And it's like, I didn't realize that was the thing until very, very recently. So my blanket apology to anybody I might have offended over the years with my terrible ability at small talk. I'm working on it. It's still not great, but it's a legitimate challenge. It's like a funny little thing.
You know what's even worse is being both. I'm both. That's the problem, is you don't know what day you're catching me on. Am I catching him on an extroverted day or a day where he's like, don't talk to me. I'm not interested in what you have to say. That's the worst part.
I always said I'm an extroverted introvert.
Sure.
Like,
I used to be all extrovert. All extrovert.
That's
and now I'm like, oh my God, I'm tired of the sound of my own voice. No, Jesse, it is funny that you say that. You feel like you boxed because I've got buddies that work construction. I got buddies who work 17-hour days and doing landscaping and stuff. And I always feel like an idiot. When I'm like, when I leave here, sometimes I have to like hold my eyes open when I'm driving home because I'm wiped out. I feel like an idiot. I've done hard labor before. It isn't the same. It's just a different type of work. But all right. So one of those things, like last night, perfect example. You're doing, how many games into the season are we right
70.
Now? 70 games in, Jesse. As cool as it is for the lights going out for 10 minutes, the way my mind works is, we gonna get this done? It's 10 more minutes I have to stay here until I get to go home to my cartoon.
You got a vamp.
And you got a riff for 10 minutes.
Or 10-minute commercial
break.
It
was 3 minutes. It was 3 minutes.
Yeah, three
so
minutes.
It was fine. It was
but you didn't know that at the time.
Announced. No, you didn't know how long it was going to go. But it was like, all right, you know, that guy, I don't know. In the moment, it didn't bother me, even though it was another kind of longer than it needed to be game. You know, it's kind of fun and funny, and the fans started going with the flashlights. I enjoyed kind of describing that on the radio. I think there's something there. But, yeah, I mean, look, as long as we're not getting into, like, a two-hour rain delay, fair. I'm cool. Because the odds are at some point on this East Coast trip this week, and I haven't checked the weather yet, but, like, going to New York and Philly in June. So we might have to deal with something, you know, this coming week. But, yeah, no, that actually, it's funny because my mind didn't go there for once.
You know, Jesse, if the Padres took a baseball personality test, they might have baseball personality disorder, because it feels like every other week they're a different team. This week they're a team that's hitting home runs, a lot of slug. You know, a couple weeks ago there was no slug at all. Sometimes they're a team that plays really clean defense. Sometimes they're a team that makes some interesting, weird errors. There's been a lot of different Padres we've seen through these 70 games.
No doubt about it, and that'll probably continue. And the idea is that, you know, when the calendar flips from September to October, A, you're still playing, and B, you know, maybe or possibly for the first time all year, it all kind of comes together at once. That, you know, you're seeing the clean defense with the good starting pitching, with the good relief pitching, with the slug, with the on base. And, you know, if that happens, that's how you make a run. That's how the Arizona Diamondbacks got to the World Series last year. That's how the Philadelphia Phillies got to the World Series the year before. And, you know, the regular season in this playoff format especially seems to be about surviving. You know, it's great if you thrive. If you want to go and win 109 games, go ahead. Congratulations. That's a lovely accomplishment. Not an easy thing to do. It's impressive. Nobody's going to turn that down. But, you know, I just don't know. And it's only been a couple of years, so I'm not trying to make any, you know, grand pronouncements. But I think, you know, the idea now is survive the regular season, get in and get hot. And, you know, it's a little bit weird because it feels a little bit out of your control. It's not that you can necessarily, like, do anything for that to happen. It just kind of has to happen. And that is the nature of a playoff system in which you have this number of rounds and this many teams in. That is the reality of it. You know, for those of you who watched baseball before 1969, you had an American League and you had a National League. And the winner of the American League played the winner of the National League in the World Series, and that was it. And then from, you know, 69 for, you know, about, what, 25 years, it was, you know, the East winner versus the West winner in the playoffs, and then the World Series. And then we had the one wild card. And now we have really something that looks a lot more like the stuff out of other sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, the volatility factor is turned way up because of that. And so, you know, I don't know that Rob Manfred would scream this from the mountaintops, but it's hard to argue that the regular season has ever meant less than it does now. And look, I remember saying to you guys multiple times, you know, the last couple of years when we talked about this, there's going to be a year when an 81-win team, maybe an 80-win team, maybe a 79-win team is able to get into the postseason. And look, we got more than half a year to go, but it's sure looking like that could be a realistic, you know, end game here in 2024. We'll see. But I mean, the number of teams that are involved right now in the National League wildcard who are hovering right around or below 500, it's a long list. It's basically the entire National League at this point. There's only two or three teams that are like out of it right now. And maybe that's what they wanted, but that's certainly what they got. And so, you know, look, again, I'm not suggesting that the best path forward is to go 80 and 82 and try and get hot, but that could very well end up happening for one of these teams.
Our pal Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, even stranger than that, too, is, yeah, you can get hot at the right time, and you can cruise even through the first two rounds of the playoffs, and then you can just go ice cold. You just never know.
Not only that, I mean, look at the Phillies last
year. Yeah.
After game two of the NLCS, remember they beat the Diamondbacks in the first two
unbeatable.
Games at home.
They were unbeatable.
That place was they looked like they would never lose again. It was like, oh my gosh, this team is not only going to sweep this series, they're going to sweep the World Series. It doesn't matter who it's against, and then they're going to start off 80-0 next year.
Yeah.
And then the Diamondbacks beat them. I mean, it's look, every time we say that's baseball, I know it makes people want to, you know, punch a hole in the wall, but like it is the dumbest sport in the best way, and you know, stuff like that happens all the time.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Do you have a word for
Jesse?
Yeah,
we have a word. Paulie's got it called up, but I also have a dream. And it's been my dream for a while, and I know this is a huge challenge, so I can't force you to try to do it, but I would love to see it happen at some point before the end of the season, and I'm setting you up for success with this one, because what I want is an incorporator that actually is incorporated into one of the game highlights, like a big moment of the game. So here's your word today that I think you at least have the opportunity to do so.
Sockdolager.
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 Sockdolager is a forceful blow or an exceptional person or thing.
Oh, wow.
And the added challenge, and not required, but should it present itself in the right
extra
opportunity,
credit.
The extra credit opportunity, is to get it in a moment that we will be replaying in our Padres wrap-up tomorrow morning, because it was a key moment in the game.
Sockdolager.
Sockdolager.
Sockdolager?
I think, play it again, Paulie. Oh.
Nope. Sockdolager.
Sockdolager.
Here's my only fear, is it's like a 1-0 game with like an RBI double,
it's
you know,
it's not required.
Not required.
Yeah. But if we can get some slug, I got you.
That's what I'm thinking.
Your prize for doing it is that we won't come make small talk with you in the booth
ever
for the rest of, well, until the All-Star break. I'm
going to
give you the rest of the All-Star break off.
Jesse and I just standing next to each other with
priceless.
No small talk is simply just
and
comfortable
totally comfortable
silence.
With it.
Yes, comfortable silence.
Totally comfortable.
Does that bother you when I pop in to say hello?
No, not at all.
You're lying.
Although, can I admit something and apologize?
Please do.
I don't. If it felt like I blew you off the other day on the field, and I'm sorry if it did. It wasn't even an introvert thing. It was I saw your face and you were walking towards me, and we were outside.
Yeah.
But still, all I could think of as you walked towards me
that
was,
I had.
Oh,
COVID.
I remember this guy had COVID a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And I was like, I gotta get out of here.
I can't tell you how much better I feel. I've been worried sick about it. I almost texted you, so I feel so much better.
Hey, man, we cool.
I should have texted you, but I also thought it would be funnier to talk about it on the radio.
Yeah,
it was.
I just feel a weight has been lifted from my soul. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, I'm hoping
I love all three of you.
I
love
Tatis or a Machado's Sockdolager.
Sockdolager. Stop saying Sockdolager.
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 Play it one more time, Paulie. You've been wrong every time.
You're wrong every time.
Sockdolager.
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 I want to twist it around, too. I like, you know, if we said, man, Fernando's been a real sockdologist lately.
That
Ooh,
works too.
Sockdologist. Yeah. Ooh, that's great.
An exceptional person or thing. That works too. All right, Jesse. Good conversation.
Oh,
we appreciate it.
You made my day. I love you. Thank you.
Sockdologist.
Jesse
Agler, voice of the Padres, joining us.
Remember what I told you yesterday? I told you this.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you guys?
Yeah.
I go, I think Jesse hates me now because he gave me the elbow.
That's right. You did say that.
I told you that. Yeah, he gave me the elbow, and I couldn't for the life of me.
Just a walking plague is what he's worried about.
I couldn't for the life of me. I'm like, what did I do? And now I know, and I feel so much better. If there's one guy, I'd rather you hate me than Jesse Agler. That would break my heart if Jesse Agler didn't like me.
I'm so glad that I have so much in common with Jesse.
Yeah, so much.
Even though we can't ever really share it because we don't want to talk to each other.
You don't want to talk to anyone. It's amazing the shell that you've come out of on this show. Talking about your S&M fantasies and everything else. It's incredible.
By the way, thank you to Orthodox Evans who contributed Sockdolager.
Great word.
To the incorporator for tonight. All right, Paulie's got some headlines with the Rindle Report, which is coming up next. We will talk about tonight's game, Padres A's continuing their series. It's all ahead. 1 hour to go with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Rope Summer Baseball League and Camps. This week is the last chance to call to register your ball player, ages 6 through 12, for the Baseball Summer League. Can you confirm that one?
I can.
It's going to be an awesome summer of player development and competition. Registration closes this Friday, June 14th. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com.
We just finished your personality test.
We did.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a similar personality to one Jesse Agler.
I can see some of that. You failed yours, though, again, here on this.
I did.
Yeah, failed.
It's not a pass-fail thing.
Red
alert.
Blinking F.
You said I'm an architect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of highly logical.
INTJ.
Not overly emotional.
Correct. Intellectually curious.
I am. The test also determined that I'm highly introverted, like 84%,
yes,
which seems odd for someone who spends all day on radio and television.
Yeah.
Usually those you'd think are very extroverted people, but I don't know. Jesse Agler's with us. Jesse, would you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
Major introvert.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you're both
like probably more than 84%.
But you're both on radio, both in both in show business, mm-hmm, so to speak.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, this conversation, you know, I've had it a few times with people over the years, right? Because it doesn't make sense on its face, as you said. But I think my way of understanding myself and kind of explaining it to people is that, you know, the microphone is some kind of like barrier, right? In a weird way, because it is, and this is going to sound obnoxious, but it's kind of a one-way conversation. Like when I'm talking to people on the radio, they're not talking back to me. So it's fine. I can just do my thing and go. But like, it is exhausting to me. Like I finish a game and it's like, I feel like this is pathetic, but like, I feel like I boxed 10 rounds.
We say the same thing.
That's more talking.
Yeah.
That's more talking than I do the whole rest of the day put together. You put me at like a dinner party, I'm the worst, man. I'm the least interesting
person.
Yeah,
me too.
I do not know how to make small talk. Like, you know what? This is a terrible thing to admit, but I will do so for you guys because we're among friends here. Like, I don't think I realized until my late 30s that like when somebody asks you a small talk question, you're supposed to ask it back to them after you answer it. Like, I didn't realize.
I still didn't know that. Is that true?
38 years old.
So we'll walk through a scenario. We'll walk through a scenario. We're at a dinner party. So, like, a small talk question would be what? Like,
hey, what do you have planned for the weekend? And
they're
like, oh, you know, we're taking the kids to this, doing that, blah, 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 blah. And in the past, my brain was like, okay, they have asked you a question.
Yeah.
You have answered it.
I politely answered the question.
Life.
Yeah. Why would I want to know what you were doing this weekend? That doesn't affect my
100%.
Life at all.
And it's like in my head, I'm like, why do they care what I'm doing this weekend?
And I'm going to spare you from me asking that question because I didn't want to answer it. I just did. So I'm not going to be rude enough to throw it back in your face.
100%. Like, I have now done the work. I have done the heavy lifting for you. So I'm going to move on, you know, to like the bar or the
buffet, the shrimp platter.
Right.
That's so fantastic.
That is how it works. However, the extroverts, by the way, I could do 3 hours on this topic. The extroverts, they need more. Like, they need more and more and more. And it's like, it took me so long to understand, you know, how these little interactions are supposed to work. And Ben, I don't know if you can put a number on it, but like, in my mind, 85% of the people I interact with are extroverts. So it's like a really uncomfortable universe.
Everyone in television is like, so extroverted.
Yeah. So it's like a really, it's a hard world to inhabit. And I swear to God, like, I'm just now sort of learning how to navigate it with at least, you know how many people must think I'm a jerk because they're like, this guy never asked me any questions. And it's like, I didn't realize that was the thing until very, very recently. So my blanket apology to anybody I might have offended over the years with my terrible ability at small talk. I'm working on it. It's still not great, but it's a legitimate challenge. It's like a funny little thing.
You know what's even worse is being both. I'm both. That's the problem, is you don't know what day you're catching me on. Am I catching him on an extroverted day or a day where he's like, don't talk to me. I'm not interested in what you have to say. That's the worst part.
I always said I'm an extroverted introvert.
Sure. I used to be all extrovert. All extrovert.
That's,
and now I'm like, oh my God, I'm tired of the sound of my own voice. No, Jesse, it is funny that you say that. You feel like you boxed, because I've got buddies that work construction. I got buddies who work 17-hour days and doing landscaping and stuff. And I always feel like an idiot. When I'm like, when I leave here, sometimes I have to like hold my eyes open when I'm driving home because I'm wiped out. I feel like an idiot. I've done hard labor before. It isn't the same. It's just a different type of work. But all right. So one of those things, like last night, perfect example. You're doing, how many games into the season are we right
70.
Now? 70 games in, Jesse. As cool as it is for the lights going out for 10 minutes, the way my mind works is, we gonna get this done? It's 10 more minutes I have to stay here until I get to go home to my cartoon.
You got a vamp.
And you got a riff for 10 minutes.
Or 10-minute commercial
break.
It
was 3 minutes. It was 3 minutes.
Three minutes.
It was fine. It was.
But you didn't know that at the time.
No, you didn't know how long it was going to go. But it was like, all right, you know, that guy, I don't know. In the moment, it didn't bother me, even though it was another kind of longer than it needed to be game. It's kind of fun and funny, and the fans started going with the flashlights. I enjoyed kind of describing that on the radio. I think there's something there. But, look, as long as we're not getting into, like, a two-hour rain delay, fair. I'm cool. Because the odds are at some point on this East Coast trip this week, and I haven't checked the weather yet, but, like, going to New York and Philly in June. So we might have to deal with something, you know, this coming week. But, yeah, no, that actually, it's funny because my mind didn't go there for once.
You know, Jesse, if the Padres took a baseball personality test, they might have baseball personality disorder, because it feels like every other week they're a different team. This week they're a team that's hitting home runs, a lot of slug. You know, a couple weeks ago there was no slug at all. Sometimes they're a team that plays really clean defense. Sometimes they're a team that makes some interesting, weird errors. There's been a lot of different Padres we've seen through these 70 games.
No doubt about it, and that'll probably continue. And the idea is that, you know, when the calendar flips from September to October, A, you're still playing, and B, you know, maybe or possibly for the first time all year, it all kind of comes together at once. That, you know, you're seeing the clean defense with the good starting pitching, with the good relief pitching, with the slug, with the on base. And, you know, if that happens, that's how you make a run. That's how the Arizona Diamondbacks got to the World Series last year. That's how the Philadelphia Phillies got to the World Series the year before. And, you know, the regular season in this playoff format especially seems to be about surviving. You know, it's great if you thrive. If you want to go and win 109 games, go ahead. Congratulations. That's a lovely accomplishment. Not an easy thing to do. It's impressive. Nobody's going to turn that down. But, you know, I just don't know. And it's only been a couple of years, so I'm not trying to make any, you know, grand pronouncements. But I think, you know, the idea now is survive the regular season, get in and get hot. And, you know, it's a little bit weird because it feels a little bit out of your control. It's not that you can necessarily, like, do anything for that to happen. It just kind of has to happen. And that is the nature of a playoff system in which you have this number of rounds and this many teams in. That is the reality of it. You know, for those of you who watched baseball before 1969, you had an American League and you had a National League. And the winner of the American League played the winner of the National League in the World Series, and that was it. And then from, you know, 69 for, you know, about, what, 25 years, it was, you know, the East winner versus the West winner in the playoffs, and then the World Series. And then we had the one wild card. And now we have really something that looks a lot more like the stuff out of other sports.
Yeah.
And, you know, the volatility factor is turned way up because of that. And so, you know, I don't know that Rob Manfred would scream this from the mountaintops, but it's hard to argue that the regular season has ever meant less than it does now. And look, I remember saying to you guys multiple times, you know, the last couple of years when we talked about this, there's going to be a year when an 81-win team, maybe an 80-win team, maybe a 79-win team is able to get into the postseason. And look, we got more than half a year to go, but it's sure looking like that could be a realistic, you know, end game here in 2024. We'll see. But, I mean, the number of teams that are involved right now in the National League wildcard who are hovering right around or below 500, it's a long list. It's basically the entire National League. At this point, there's only two or three teams that are like out of it right now. And maybe that's what they wanted, but that's certainly what they got. And so, you know, look, again, I'm not suggesting that the best path forward is to go 80 and 82 and try and get hot, but that could very well end up happening for one of these teams.
Our pal Jesse Agler here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, you know, even stranger than that, too, is, yeah, you can get hot at the right time and you can cruise even through the first two rounds of the playoffs. And then you can just go ice cold. You just never know.
Not only that, I mean, look at the Phillies last
year. Yeah.
After game two of the NLCS, remember, they beat the Diamondbacks in the first two
unbeatable.
Games at home.
They were unbeatable.
That place was they looked like they would never lose again. It was like, oh my gosh, this team is not only going to sweep this series, they're going to sweep the World Series. It doesn't matter who it's against. And then they're going to start off 80-0 next year.
Yeah.
And then the Diamondbacks beat them. I mean, it's look, every time we say that's baseball, I know it makes people want to, you know, punch a hole in the wall. But, like, it is the dumbest sport in the best way. And, you know, stuff like that happens all the time.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Do you have a word for
Jesse?
Yeah,
we have a word. Paulie's got it called up. But I also have a dream. And it's been my dream for a while, and I know this is a huge challenge, so I can't force you to try to do it, but I would love to see it happen at some point before the end of the season, and I'm setting you up for success with this one, because okay. What I want is an incorporator that actually is incorporated into one of the game highlights, like a big moment of the game. So here's your word today that I think you at least have the opportunity to do so.
Sockdolager.
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 Sockdolager is a forceful blow or an exceptional person or thing.
Oh, wow.
And the added challenge, and not required, but should it present itself in the right
extra
opportunity,
credit.
The extra credit opportunity, is to get it in a moment that we will be replaying in our Padres wrap-up tomorrow morning, because it was a key moment in the game.
Sockdolager.
Sockdolager.
Sockdolager?
I think, play it again, Paulie. Oh.
Nope. Sockdolager.
Sockdolager.
Here's my only fear, is it's like a 1-0 game with like an RBI double,
it's
you know, ground.
It's not required.
Not required.
Yeah. But if we can get some slug, I got you.
That's what I'm thinking. Right.
Your prize for doing it is that we won't come make small talk with you in the booth
ever
for the rest of, well, until the All-Star break.
You know,
I'm
going to
give you the rest of the All-Star break off.
Jesse and I just standing next to each other with
priceless.
No small talk is simply just
and
comfortable
totally comfortable
silence.
With it.
Yes, comfortable silence.
Totally comfortable.
Does that bother you when I pop in to say hello?
No, not at all.
You're lying.
Although, can I admit something and apologize?
Please do.
I don't. If it felt like I blew you off the other day on the field, and I'm sorry if it did. It wasn't even an introvert thing. It was I saw your face and you were walking towards me, and we were outside.
Yeah.
But still, all I could think of as you walked towards me
that
was,
I had.
Oh,
COVID.
I remember this guy had COVID a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And I was like, I gotta get out of here.
I can't tell you how much better I feel. I've been worried sick about it. I almost texted you, so I feel so much better.
Hey, man, we cool.
I should have texted you, but I also thought it would be funnier to talk about it on the radio.
Yeah,
it was.
I just feel a weight has been lifted from my soul. Thank you, Jesse.
All right, I'm hoping
I love all three of you.
I
love
Tatis or a Machado's Sockdolager.
Sockdolager. Stop saying Sockdolager.
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 Play it one more time, Paulie. You've been wrong every time.
You're wrong every time.
Sockdolager.
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 I want to twist it around, too. I like, you know, if we said, man, Fernando's been a real sockdologist lately.
That
Ooh,
works,
too. Sockdologist. Yeah. Ooh, that's great.
An exceptional person or thing. That works, too. All right, Jesse. Good conversation.
Oh,
we appreciate it.
You made my day. I love you. Thank you.
Sockdologist.
See you, Jesse.
Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, joining us.
Remember what I told you yesterday? I told you this.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you guys?
Yeah.
I go, I think Jesse hates me now because he gave me the elbow.
That's right. You did say that.
I told you that. Yeah, he gave me the elbow, and I couldn't for the life of me.
You're just a walking plague is what he's worried about.
I couldn't for the life of me. I'm like, what did I do? And now I know, and I feel so much better. If there's one guy, I'd rather you hate me than Jesse Agler. That would break my heart if Jesse Agler didn't like me.
I'm so glad that I have so much in common with Jesse.
Yeah, so much.
Even though we can't ever really share it because
right.
we don't want to talk to each other.
You don't want to talk to anyone. It's amazing the shell that you've come out of on this show. Talking about your S&M fantasies and everything else. It's incredible.
By the way, thank you to Orthodox Evans who contributed Sockdolager.
Great word.
To the incorporator for tonight. All right, Paulie's got some headlines with the Rindle Report, which is coming up next. We will talk about tonight's game, Padres A's continuing their series. It's all ahead. 1 hour to go with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.